Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Good evening. How are you? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my pleasure and my honor to serve you tonight in the role of being your host of the radio program. So, you know, we have the absolute best guests in all the world that grace our studio with their expertise. And tonight is, trust me, no different. We still have the best that come and share what they have. But before we get into the show, there's a couple of things that we do just to make sure that we're all in order. And the very first thing that we do is we give thanks and show as much appreciation and gratitude to our ancestors as we can. Our ancestors are always with us, man. They always got us, you know, they holding us up, propping us up, and giving us little whispers in the ear of advice and what we may need to get through a situation. So on Tuesday, sometimes we discuss issues that are outside of what people may call polite conversation, and that's okay because we know the ancestors got us on Tuesdays too. So ancestors, we thank you for the role that you've played and continue to play in our lives, and we love you with all that we have. Ooh, ashe. So next we anchor ourselves in what I like to call affirmative reading. These are actually some statements or some thoughts that were poured into me by the universe, and I love to share these. If you're interested in having them automatically delivered to you every day, you can go to revsandy.wordpress.com and sign up for them, and they're in your box by the time you wake up each and every day. So this particular one is called Be Outstanding. Be outstanding all the time. Give all that you have so more may be added to you. To be outstanding is to demonstrate the ultimate of who you are at every opportunity. You grow when you willingly give your best because you set your mark higher for the next time around. I choose to be outstanding. I give the best I am and have to the universe and humanity. I serve with pure humility and gratitude. It is my honor to be of service to others. This is my way of expressing my deepest gratitude to God for all that I have in my life. I am truly thankful for the many blessings already received and those yet to be received. I am outstanding. My actions reflect what I feel and think about me. I feel blessed. My cup is filled to overflowing with the grace and mercy of God. I accept my rich heritage. I display my royalty for all to witness. This demonstration allows others the opportunity to witness God in action. That is my reason for always, always choosing to be outstanding in all areas. Whew, ashe. That, again, can be found at RevSandy, RevSandy.wordpress.com. And you can have those delivered to your email. They're also on Facebook, too, under Sandy Rogers Ministries or under my personal page as well. So listen, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight we are graced with a young man who just stole my heart when I first met him a few weeks ago. And he told me that he was a black love activist. And so I'm looking at this young man, and I just loved his confidence. I loved how he presented himself to me and to everyone else. And so I asked him to come and share some of his gifts, his knowledge, his views on life with us. So I am so tickled that he accepted the invitation, and his name is Nicholas Badea, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that last name right, but we'll make sure that he comes in and corrects us if I did. So he works with Habishaw, which is an international urban agriculture program, which teaches the process of growing and harvesting food. And he's very into that, and we almost had a scheduling conflict because that program is really serious, and Nick is committed to it. So, but I'm not going to get into all of that. Man, I just went off, right? So anyway, look, we're getting ready to get going. So audience, you know you're always invited to join in the discussion, and we love to hear the comments. And anyone that has something to say, our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. And if you would like to speak live on air with us, you would just push 1. Our mics are extremely sensitive, so if your line is opened up to make a comment on the show, all I ask is that when you're not speaking, if you would just mute your phone so as not to disturb the quality. Because there are a lot of regular listeners of the program that 9 o'clock is just too late for them, and so they like to listen to the rebroadcast on the next day or a different day. So if you would do that, that would be so, so cool. And if you would like to listen to any of the shows rebroadcast, you can do that. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So you know, like, there's one more piece before we get started, and that is our musical intermission. So I'm going to play a song, and when we come back, I'm going to bring Nick to the mic, and we're going to get this conversation rolling. And once again, thank you so much for being here with us tonight on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. that was the Staple Singers, you guys. Y'all know you remember that, Respect Yourself. Now, Nick is a little bit too young, maybe, for that. It was well out before he was born. But
that was definitely the first time hearing.
Say it again.
I was saying that was definitely my first time hearing that song.
But, you know, that's how you carry yourself. You know, like you want people to respect themselves. Right. And so when I choose the daily affirmation message and the music, it usually tells a little story about the speaker. So thank you for being with us tonight.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I can't wait. So, like I said, Nick came out to our community garden, the historic Mapleton Community Garden, a couple of months or so ago. And we were talking, and he was taking a tour, and it was a part of the class assignment from the sessions that he was taking from Habershaw. And so Habershaw, like I said, is a very intense program that young people are involved with that learns the artistry, so to speak, of growing your own food and all of that that goes into that agricultural part. So, but we had a chance to really kind of talk about some other things, too. And so when Nick told me he was a Black love activist, that just really got my attention. I wanted to know what this young man meant by that, right? So, Nick, I'm going to let you take it from there, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. I give thanks.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I'm a Black love activist. I think that, yeah, just true healing is just love. It's just tapping into and fixing love with self and then love with others. And just going back to that divine balance, you know, following the off, reconnecting the divine feminine with the divine masculine. So I just try to push that with everything I do. I have a clothing brand that influences, like, self-love and agriculture and just, like, returning to land. That's also everything I paint about. And then I also coordinate different like art shows and events in the community. And that's the main thing that I'm just trying to push is just us reestablishing healthier relationships with one another and just truly healing with folks. So that's a summary of what a Black love activist is for me. Just fighting for that and not giving up on that.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me, you said you had a clothing line as well?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. My my clothing line is called Voices in the Forest. It was inspired when I was earlier in the Habershaw studies. We were doing a homework assignment, and everybody got to pick their own article for it. And I was looking into this Japanese therapy called forest bathing. Pretty much to sum it up, it's just everything in nature is already provided for you. And I really resonated with that and connected with that because I feel like everybody's spiritual journey is different. But for me personally, like I found true peace and healing, you know, in my own like nirvana in the garden. That's where I'm the most zen. That's where I go and meditate. But that's really all the brand is pushing. People just tapping back in with self, returning to land, and just all the benefits in that. And that nature just provides everything that you need, basically. So, you know, I love fashion, so I'm always dressing to the occasion, but there's not really that many, like, agriculture wear brands out there like that. So that was just, that was my calling to do that. And just push what I love.
Okay, so your clothing is intended for the garden, for people that's out.
Yes, ma'am.
Agriculture.
Yes, ma'am. So it's I got like a collection of overalls coming out. It's also the sport like hiking. So I got, like, a lot of hiking wear. Eventually, I want to get shoes made. But right now, I'm working on, like, different hiking socks and bags and different kind of hats to protect, you know, from the sun and everything. So, yeah, just a wide variety. And then there's also streetwear clothes, just, like, graphic tees. But even though, like, they have graphics to influence that kind of lifestyle. So I really just try to make it for everyone, you know, like a soft invite from whether you're coming from the fashion side or if you're coming for the agriculture side, it's that middle bridge right there. So that's what I'm trying to do with the brand.
Well, I'm really impressed by that because, and I'm loving that. I can't wait to see your clothes because it's, especially for people that are new into the gardening or, you know, outgrowing food, it can be a challenge to, you know, to pick something appropriate to wear. And if you're brand new and green, you know, like you don't know, you need to have your head covered. You need to have long sleeves. And, you know, if you don't wear have the right weight of fabric, you know, it'll be too cumbersome. You know, so it's a lot of things that's involved in that. So, oh, that's so wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, the funny thing, like, one of the first, like, jokes that we had cracked at Habershot when we all had, like, met for the first time in person was just, like, nobody knew what to wear for the first few weeks. Like, the first day we were out there and it rained. And then it was like, wow, we should all got raincoats. But it's just like, where do you find farmer wear was, like, the joke of the day. So that kind of just sparked the idea for me. And I was like, wow, I've always been into fashion. I always wanted a brand, but I've just been waiting for, like, a calling. So just crossing those two, it's just been an interesting platform of people that I've met just in doing that and spreading what I do. So it's a cool bridge that it crossed.
That is one. So how are you marketing or selling your brand? Have you gotten to that yet?
Okay, yeah. So currently I've been in, just to be honest with you, I've been in the prototype process of everything. I'm working with a couple of manufacturers to get things made on just a higher quantity and quality level.
Okay.
So, because it's like when you produce on a lower level, it's only so much customization that you can do to the product. So now that I'm on a bigger quantity level, I have more freedom with, like, design. So now I can get more into, like, the engineering and the fabrics of the clothes to have, like, farmer advanced technology versus just, you know, getting something printed on. So I'm, like, very particular now, like, with the fabrics and materials I'm using. So, yeah, I'm getting to the marketing part. But I've just been getting a lot of support from the agriculture community that Habershot has connected me with and plugged me in with. So that I've been getting a lot of really good feedback from my prototypes just doing that alone. So probably starting somewhere there with them and just pushing it through that community that Habershot's plugged me into.
Oh, that is, oh, man, that is super fantastic. And so I would imagine then with the referrals that you're receiving from Habershot that your fabrics are going to be out of natural materials, raw.
Yes, ma'am. You're already so friendly from the shirt to the bag that it comes in, everything. That's
awesome.
The goal for the brand. Yes, ma'am.
That is so. I'm just, you know, like stuck on that right now because I know for me personally, you know, like you have to go online and, you know, there's so much knowledge that you need. Like you said, you know, if you go out there and it's raining, what do? You know, and if you're out there and the sun is hot, you know, like beaming hot, how do you protect yourself from heat strokes and, you know, your body absorbing too much of heat? And all of those are real deals out there, you know, if it's a community garden or if it's a farm, you know, you got to do all of it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's good. Thank you for telling us that. I didn't even know you guys, so I'm just finding this out. Voices in the Forest clothing line. So how are you going to, is that going to be through like a website or something like that, or are we going to have to bring you back on so you can tell people how to order it?
Okay, so a little bit of both. So I went to school for computer science and web design. So I am working on developing a website, but I'm, like, very particular. I challenge myself a lot. So it's going to take a minute to really get to the quality of site that I want it to be. But, you know, once all that releases, I'll definitely have to hop back on here and give everybody the information for it. But as far as right now, I will be selling initially on Instagram. So my Instagram is Nicola Badila. That's NicolasBadila on Instagram. Yeah, and that's where I sell all my stuff, from art prints to my clothing brand and the paintings.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay, so you kind of caught me off guard with that one. I'm kind of glad, though, because I love learning new things about my guests when they come on the air. I don't want to know everything about them. But
right.
That is just really, really got my attention. That is such a big, big need, because I see, you know, like in our garden over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, how people just kind of lose their way in learning all the time. So I always have extra clothes in the car and hats and things like that. So,
right,
well, good,
right.
Good. Congratulations on that venture there.
So much.
Yep, yep. So what do you mean by the self-love is healing love?
Okay. All right. Let me see where I want to start that at. okay. It's like, yeah, it's like you talk about it all the time in your head, but it's like when it's coming out in actual words, you got to, it's like, hold up, I got to organize this thing. But
Right.
Self-love is just very, I'm very big on it, and it's very important to me. And I think that's really, I mean, that's what starts everybody's spiritual journey, but that's really what started my spiritual journey, was just having to learn that and understand what that really is. I'm a life path six, so, like, naturally I'm just a giver. On top of just being a black male, we tend to ignore our emotions just because of society. It's like, you know, even like, my peers, like, we just never really brought up emotions. It wasn't, like, a attention. You know, besides you liking a girl, like, that's really the only emotion that you could really share or focus on or talk about. So it wasn't a lot of that going on. And just being able to tap into my emotions, you know, to understand those, I think that it's very important to be emotionally intelligent. Every decision and move I make is straight intuition. So I have to tap into that and see, like, what my intuition feels like. Because I used to ignore that a lot, but it was always right. So that was a big part of self-love, is just trusting that, you know, just trusting my judgment and, you know, just plans and everything on life. Just trusting myself and loving myself more, really focusing on what that really means. And it's just it's a forever thing that you have to maintain, you know. So I kind of see it like my plant. Like, self-love is like my plant. So I'm just always just taking care of it, and it's important to remember it. You know, it's like can't go a day without watering a certain plant. It's going to die or it's going to get sad. So, you know, you're the same way. And that's the core and center of, I think, spirituality is just understanding that. I follow the code, like, self, then family, then community. And I feel like you have to take care of yourself. You have to heal yourself before you heal family. You have to heal family before you heal community. It's an original black comedic code that they used to follow that I was reading on, and I just really resonated with that. So I just feel like to do any of the healing that I'm meant to as a life path six in life, I gotta heal self first. So just helping other people tap into that kind of mindset. That's just been my calling in life. So that's what self-healing and self-love is to me.
I love how you broke that down. You want to share with the audience what's your age?
Oh, yeah, I'm 22. My birthday is January.
Did you guys hear that? He is 22. And so I love that you have this very mature outlook on life, and so, you know, that there's hope for us all, as, you know, that your generation is coming through, and we've got minds like yours that's leading the pack or helping to lead the pack. So I'm really impressed with how you have those different ideologies on life and living. So were you brought up in that mind thinking, or is this something that you are newly discovered? Were you searching for it? So tell us how you came to be where you are with your outlook on life.
Okay. I guess I want to start it off by saying I do come from love, you know. I definitely come from love, and I come from a very, like, rebellious, spiritually, like, family. Like, we're very free. But as far as, like, I don't know. I don't know how to say it. Like, I guess the street smarts of the spiritual world. Like, I didn't get to that consciousness until I got to a certain age, like 18-ish. And that's just, I don't know. I guess that's when, I don't want to say life hit me, but that's when life hit me. Yeah, and it's just certain patterns that I've seen in my community, you know, and just the people around me and stuff like that. Like, it was just really weird patterns. Like, nobody's parents were together that I knew. Like, no one ever had seen a couple. No one that I, like, intimately know, like, no friends, they've never seen, like, a black couple together, like, on something serious, you know. So, I don't know. Like, just seeing things like that, it was just like, why? You know, and then just I asked the universe for, you know, the inspiration for my work. And it's, you know, I've been blessed to live a lot of different lives, a lot of different movies, a lot of different things. To just see and experience what kind of issues we really have in our community, what do I really need to focus on. So the universe just put me in those places to see that. Just once I got to an age to where, like, I have my own consciousness and I'm just paying attention to things. And that vibration, I guess, has, you know, it was in momentum with my entire family, because everybody kind of went off in their own spiritual journey and awakening, or whatever you want to call it, at that point. But we kind of all jumped that conscious cliff at the same time. Just everybody kind of keeps
like
going
that,
their own way. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess, yeah. If that, I hope that answers the question.
It does. It does.
Okay.
And I'm loving your, you know, the freedom that you're using in, you know, answering the question. So, no. Just go right ahead, you know, with however you need to break it down, or, you know, how you feel led to do that, because it's important for us to get to know you. A lot of times we older people, more mature people, you know, may have a thought that, you know, the young people really don't have anything to add, or, you know, they have not had enough experiences in life to come up with the type of intelligence that you're showing, you know, with the answers. And just how you approached me and carried yourself when I met you a couple of months ago, you know, all of that shows so much maturity. And it's, you're like this old spirit in this young body, you know. So
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So do you have strong black male role models
in my life?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. I do. I'm going to put it like this. So I do want to give, you know, gratitude and appreciation to the male role models that I do have in my life. I definitely appreciate and need that, you know, masculine energy in my life. So they're a great balance to it. But I'm not going to lie. On the journey that I'm on, I'm very, like, independent in my own kind of reality. If that makes sense, we don't align reality. So I don't get a lot of guidance in the direction that I'm going in as far as, like, mentality and the different things that I view and stuff. But just from masculine energy around me, so I get an idea of what that is, you know, I really do appreciate them. But I don't know. I kind of feel like my own father in this past sometimes, honestly.
Okay. But it's an honest answer. So that's what's important.
Yeah.
And you're free enough to voice it, which is even more important that you understand, you know, like what you have inside of you that can add to your life and to others and not be so dependent upon other people, you know, to be that way sure all the time. So, no, it's important. Your mindset, your heart, your spirit, the determination you have to set boundaries, so to speak, and to guide yourself as to what you want. I would imagine that is a large contribution as to why you're where you are, you know, with the freedom to think about doing a clothing line and to doing the artwork and all of that you're doing, you know, learning how to do website development. And so you've accomplished a lot in 22 years.
Thank you. I'm trying to live it up like Forrest Gump. that's the goal. That's the goal. That's my movie. So,
okay.
I really do appreciate it, Snow. I just say, just to add to that, I'm definitely a huge generational curse breaker. So that's why I say I myself in a way that I don't think other people could even understand what I'm doing sometimes, but I see those things. So just out of my love for those people in my life, like, it's a solo path sometimes, just breaking those curses, you know, something I had to face at a point that they're not going to agree with me sometimes, but it's okay because I feel my purpose. I know what my job is here. Everybody's job is different, so sad to that.
So when you say that people don't understand what it is you're saying and or doing, are you talking about any particular group? You know, like, are you talking about people in your age group or your parents or my age group? You know, so is that a universal statement or?
So, okay, well, in that, the way I was using it when I said it earlier, I was talking about the black men in my life, just explaining more of, like, that independent guidance I was talking about. But, just not everybody's tapped in yet. We're in the age of Aquarius, so, you know, I hope and trust in alignment that a lot more people are going to tap in. But, yeah, just talking about those kind of people and, you know, when you're on the right frequency, you will attract your tribe, but, you know, it's not as many people on the same wavelength as you as is going to be, like, you know, the main crowd of people. So it could apply to them, too.
Okay.
It's not for the largest crowd. I'll say it like that.
Well, but that's because there are few leaders and a bigger crowd of followers. And so, you know, there's few. You are definitely a leader, so you will not be matched up with those followers. Well, now let me rephrase that. Your role is as a leader. And so in doing that or serving in that role, you may not have the same type of crowd of people, you know, that's going to be supporting you as in friends, you know. So, because your role is different from them. Yeah, your role is definitely different. So we were also talking, Nick, when you were talking about how your social life is and dating and the young women of today, or your in your age group, and some of the issues that you have experienced. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay.
I mean, if I'm putting you on the spot, it's okay, we can go in another direction.
just a little bit, but it's okay. It's okay. We got this. I'm gonna definitely filter it because I don't want certain women to feel a type of way.
Right.
I can't even say it's just right people and it's wrong people. It's a spectrum. And it's a spectrum to finding that self-love and healing self, you know, and I just don't meet a lot of women who are as far down the spectrum as I am on that kind of level. I'll put it like that. Just as far as just, I've always been curious. I don't know. I know this is a thing. It's a normal thing for Aquarius to kind of create their own world just because they question, you know, the world that everybody lives in so much. But that's just always been me. So I've always just been curious, and I just want to know everything for myself. I don't want to be fed information, especially by, like, you know, an oppressor at a point. I think for myself completely. So just a lot of people want someone to think for them. I don't know how that sounds, but that, I'm trying to see how else to put this. Okay, like, I am plant-based. I've been plant-based for 6 years, and it's no diss to anybody who isn't plant-based, but, like, you know, I would prefer my queens to be plant-based because I want to, you know, eventually raise my kids like that as well and everything. And I kind of just want someone on the same accord to where, you know, just things run smooth. So sometimes that's a struggle, you know, just getting people to fully understand, like, what is the benefits of being plant-based. Just different things like that. I try to avoid as many toxic situations as I can. I don't like to feed into, like, a lot of negative things, even certain, like, types of music. I don't listen to a lot of mainstream, you know, modern-day music and the things that they talk about. There's just a lot of things that I just stay away from as far as, like, the negative distractions in life. But temptation is strong, you know, and ignorance is bliss. So, you know, I'm always battling those two. So I'll just put it like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would say that about people want others to think for them. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that's been very systematically done. People get, you know, caught in that snare, and it's really difficult to break away. And so you have, you know, like the crowds of folks going toward that that conditioning, that mind altering, like you're talking about, you know, processed foods, because a lot of people don't believe that that's even possible because of the advertisement, the marketing people behind those items, you know, make it look so appetizing, and, you know, the colors, they know what colors, you know, bring on what emotions. And so there's a lot of science behind all of that. And it hasn't just happened without a major plan. You know, like, that's been worked on for generations of people. So I appreciate you for saying
that. Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy someone sat and made that plan. I think about like the
You're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're just breaking up a little bit. Did you change locations?
No, I think my Wi-Fi went in and out.
Okay.
Is it better now?
It's a little better, yes.
Okay, I could try to step outside.
Thank you.
Is it better now?
Yes. See, that's how my phone is that's sometimes. So I get it.
Right. Yeah, but
yeah, that's a lot better.
Where were we?
We were talking about people that are under the influence of marketers or processed foods or want to think for them.
And it's just crazy, just the levels and complexity of just how far they went with this master plan to get everybody on this one order. But I study marketing heavy too. We studied a lot of that in school for web design specifically. So it's just understanding how marketing works alone. It's brain control. It's brain control. There's so many food dyes and even fake pieces of food and, you know, like fake drinks and stuff for advertisement just to increase the temptation. There's chemicals in the food and drinks to make you, you know, literally addicted to it or make it taste a certain type of way that you like, but it's not really the actual flavor of what you're drinking. Like, it's so much manipulation and marketing. And just studying that alone, that kind of helped, you know, awaken my consciousness to things as well, just how programmed everything is. And how you just don't think about those kind of things. Like, the craziest things be right in our face every day.
Yep.
You know, these sci-fi movies about crazy apocalyptic futures, and these things are in development right in front of us. And it's because we're watching it in a movie, it's like, it's just, we think it's unrealistic, but it's a thing. So just finding, you know, a queen tapped into that, you know, it's just been a journey.
I bet. You know, when you break it down like that, I get where you're coming from. I find it interesting too. You know, like even more mature people have that same issue. You know, like I have people that argue with me that. Seriously believe that changing just a simple act of changing what they're eating from processed foods to plant-based can erase all the, you know, the illness or the majority of the illness that they may have in their body. I have a friend that just posted last week that, you know, she was on like 4, 5, 6, 7 different medicines from anything from high blood pressure and cholesterol to diabetes and, you know, blood. The list goes on and on. But she made a decision and she changed her eating, her thinking. So, you know, the two of them goes together. You just don't, you know, switch up what you eat. And how she lived her life. And the doctor told her last week she can throw all the pills away. The doctor took her off of everything.
That's right.
And so, it's situations like that, but we don't hear enough of that for it to make sense for somebody to even want to do that, you know, to trust that they can change. Because it's, we live in a microwave type of environment, you know, like I want it and I want it right now. I don't want
that.
To have to put it in the oven,
that.
You know.
Right. The microwave, I like that. That was a cool way to put it. Definitely.
Well, thank
that
you.
Microwave behavior. Love that. But no, I definitely agree, though. Yeah, I definitely agree. I actually, speaking of just using just natural medicines and holistic healing. That's something else that kind of brought me to consciousness. I had a really bad soccer injury. That was my first thing before anything. I wanted to be a soccer player. I trained my whole life to do it.
Okay.
But I had injury at 18, right before I went, you know, right before I got in. And I had a surgery. They were telling me, I forgot the time period they gave me, but they were saying basically I wouldn't be able to like walk or run, you know, with like a regular function until like 3 years, you know, from the surgery. And I ended up, you know, and they were saying like, you know, be lucky if you could even jog after this. You know, I cut off the medicines that I was taking. I felt like a zombie all day. So I cut off the medicines that I was taking. You know, I fasted for a minute, and I just started studying all these natural, like, remedies and herbs and things, because I'm like, okay, there's only two ways to go about this. Listen to them and wait these 3 years and barely walk, or it's like, you know, go find something real. So, like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to take that chance, you know, and trying this holistic healing thing out. And I set up the healing to where I finished physical therapy in 3 months. And, you know, I've been walking and running perfectly fine ever since. So,
awesome.
You know, it definitely conflicted with everything they believed and thought, and it was a big battle, you know, to get out of that physical therapy and proving to them that my weight worked, because they just didn't trust it, you know. But just me seeing those kind of things, and a lot of family members, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but, you know, a lot of family members, we just don't do good with hospitals. I don't think that Black people should be going to hospitals.
You can tuck it away and do whatever you need to do with it. But I remember coming up and my grandparents, who would be triple digits now, well up into the triple digits, but they used to tell me when I was a kid, you know, they didn't believe in hospitals because they knew if they went in, they more than likely they were not coming out, you know. And so I understand why your people feel like that. We need to take care of our health. And, you know, we have become so reliant upon others. And so, like, you're talking about that whole marketing psychology of brain control and manipulation is working.
Right. It is. It really is. We're so dependent on, we got taken from our own culture. I love learning, you know, through Habashah, the urban perspective of agriculture. We literally got pulled from our roots, like our culture and the land, and just how to work the land and how to be one with land. That's what our culture was, and just that being taken from us and then flipped back on us to traumatize us with it. You know, now as slaves working on fields, all these years of trauma working with land, forced. It's like, you know, we gave away land. We didn't want to work land. Like, a lot of people to this day have land but don't know how to work it or use it because we're moving into, like, a dependent time, you know, where no one wants to do these things, where a machine can do everything for you. Amazon can, you know, drop off a package for you with an Android device or whatever, you know, flying in the sky. Like, it's just such a lazy time. And I don't know if you've seen the movie WALL-E, that cartoon with the robot in the future, but, you know, the Earth had died and everybody went to, I think, the moon, and everybody was just huge and sitting in, you know, those the automated wheelchairs and everything. And what we're moving to, the farther and farther we get away from our culture, you know, our soil. We're getting more and more sick. The further we stray away from that into this dependency. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I resonate with that.
So how big is your circle of influence? How easy is it for you to have these conversations with other people? You know, are people open and listening and engaging you in conversation about the things that you have to say and the insights that you have? Are you received received warmly?
Right. Okay, so I'm not going to lie. At the beginning of my, like, I've been doing art my whole life, but as far as my painting, my more serious painting career, I had to figure out, like, what my direction and statement as an artist was. And, you know, once I tapped into just wanting to heal people, you know, I wanted to paint that. I wanted conversations about that. And this is everything I was about, was just pushing that health and you know, real self-knowledge. But you can't be aggressive with it. You can't be aggressive with it, you know. And just going back to the garden, the flower attracts everything that it needs, and it sits in one place, and it just vibrates. and it gets everything that it needs. And I feel the same way.
Wow.
Like I'm letting out a frequency. It's attracting my bees. It's attracting the people who need to see it, who need to hear it. And you're going to align with me at some point if you need to tap in with me and just, you know, receive from me. So I just do my thing now. I actually had to get my mind out of selling artwork, you know, just to be more free with it. Being caught in the market, in the business side of the art world, just messed me up for a minute, and it kind of made me, like, forcefully projecting what I had to say more because, you know, you have to force what you're saying because that's your bill. So it's just like now that it's not a career and I'm just doing it because it's straight love, it's just like it's a lot more natural, the messages I get to deliver, and they're a lot more personal. So I appreciate it. And it is received pretty well, too, from other people from what I noticed. It's like it's a cool bridge with the fashion and then the art, and I also make music as well, and then I'm in the agriculture, so it's not often you find somebody in the mix of all of those things. So it's like I get to cross bridges with so many different people. It's like, wow, you do this too and this too and this too. So it's like just the interest in everything that I'm doing is like what attracts people. So I try to say, like, as far as the umbrella company that everything is under that I do, I'm just a lifestyle influencer. Lifestyle is just everything that you do every day. Like, what kind of music do you listen to? How do you dress? How do you carry yourself? What do you believe in? What are your practices? Like, all around, who are you as a person? And I feel like people, I don't know, like I get little bits of, you know, here and there of different things that I like about people's lifestyles, but nobody has that full, healthy lifestyle. They're more like creative inspiration. So I was like, I want to create something dope, but at the same time, something that's actually going to help people too, because people need that influence and that guidance, because there's a lot of people who just don't naturally lead themselves. There's a lot of people who look up to these, you know, people that they make stars and musicians and rappers and all these famous people, but it's just like they're not real people. They're not influencing a real lifestyle. So that's what I want to do for people, is just to influence an all-around holistic lifestyle, but still be cool with it. You know, like a lot of people think it's just like a hippie thing, but, you know, I like to think I'm cool. Like I like to dress smooth and everything, like, you know, so just showing them that mix, you know, and that's also why I got face tattoos. I just wanted to connect that bridge because I'm from Cascade, you know, so that's my hood and stuff. But just the areas of interest that I have put me outside of, you know, my hood, my people. So it's just like, you know, I got those face tats, and I was a mentor at the time, the kids as well. So it's just like, you know, they're seeing people like that around, and they're following those people. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get face tats because they're cool, but, you know, come in the garden and play with me. You know, paint a piece or come to an art show. You know what I mean? You don't have to kick it at the club. So I've just designed my whole lifestyle to influence where I'm from and pull them out of that and pull us into something healthier for us.
I'm just so impressed and so proud of how you can voice what it is that you feel and what's so important to you. And you give me hope for our future, you know, for all of us, because we can listen to your voice of reason and hopefully apply it to what we're doing and make changes as you're suggesting, you know, that getting back to Mother Earth and eating from the earth and being able to not be in a state of stress when you're doing something that you love, as you're talking about your artwork. And, you know, if it's a career, then it's pressure to make money. But if you just do it from the love, you are able to freely express who you are. So, you know, those are some really some lifestyle changes. And you called yourself a lifestyle influencer, and I thought that was really cool. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a big difference. So I'm going to, we're going to keep talking, audience, but if you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, pats on the back for Nick, our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. You would just hit 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, Nick and I are going to keep it rolling. So, again, that's 516-531-9819 and hit 1 on your dial to speak live with us. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I like that about the tats on the face or, you know, doing – things where people are more apt to receive you and listen to the things that you have to say. Cause that's important because you can have all the helpful information in the world, but if nobody's listening to you, it don't mean a doggone thing, you know? So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
So that's a good point. That's an excellent point there. And then perhaps, like, you know, with all the different avenues that you're taking from the artwork, the music, the clothing, and the food, I have a lot of what would be the word I need to use right there? I have a lot of confidence that you're going to be a big changer, a big influencer for not just your age group, but for all of us, because you speak so fluidly about things and how you are doing it. You know, you're not programmed or conditioned by all of this stuff, and it's probably because you don't eat the processed foods for like the last 6 years. That really does make a huge difference, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I had to get my mind right. I had to definitely clearing out my system definitely helped, too. Like, I don't think universe, Mother Nature would have flowed, giving me any downloads until I cleared my body out. You know, I definitely had to clear the temple out with that. So,
I like
fasting,
that.
A lot of bath breaks. But, you know,
yes,
once we got there, yeah, everything was smooth.
We got a caller, 770-639. You want to give us your name and your comment or contribution to the conversation, please?
Sure. Hey, sis, this is Karen. Hey, Nick. I am, like,
hey, Karen.
Hey, man.
Peace, how you doing?
Say what'd you say, Nick?
I was just asking her how she was doing.
Oh, I am wonderful. Thank you. And, yes, the future is bright. I usually am not up at this time to be able to call in, but I'm on vacation. So it's just divine. The fact that you're talking about self-love, I'm about self-care, and your articulation, like Sandy said, is wonderful. And, you know, an elder to you. To say that is just lovely. You know, I'm not saying it because it's like, oh, man, a young black man that can speak. No, that is wonderful. Yes, I know
Thank
we
you.
Do in the community. If those other, some of the other folks that haven't been privy to meet folks like you. So I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. I actually sent this link out to another friend who was plant-based. I love how you said you want your queen to be plant-based. I have friends around me who are plant-based. I'm not completely over there.
but I do respect
it. And I do know that it is a wonderful lifestyle. And, yes, I was working with Sandy and them in the garden a few years ago. We had my church had a plot. And now I've gotten enough information to start growing stuff in my own backyard. So I'm just thankful that the young generation is starting to do that too. So keep up the good work. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all the wonderful things that you are bringing forth.
Yes, ma'am. They all in the works. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Karen.
You're welcome, Sandy. Thank you for constantly listening to Spirit and bringing the right folks on, because this is like,
hey, that's what I do. That's what you told me you want. So.
Yep. So I'm gonna let y'all go ahead back with your interview, because this is just enlightening.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Nick, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it's like people are listening to how you're breaking it down, how you're describing it, and it's making sense to them, you know. So it's important to have young people like you. Like I said, you know, for me, it just, you know, makes me just beam with all this pride that we've got some serious people that are paying attention, that is a part of what's going to take place in the future, you know, and now. But, you know, like, you've got more years ahead of you than you do behind you. And that is just really,
I like how you
really
put that. Thank you.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm so tickled by it, you know. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. So how do we go about changing the norm of perceptions, of conversation, of wanting, of having people to want something different for themselves?
How do we go about that? Okay. Let me marinate on that for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
I'm good. It's really gonna. It's interesting. It's figuring out how to explain this part, because this is something that I have to ask myself every day. You know, every day I'm just trying to go at it a better way. The most efficient way that I can, the most realistic way that I can, because I've just noticed that sometimes you can't grab a handful of people. Sometimes it's going to be two or three out the crowd. So I really think I feel like the main influence is going to be what everybody puts attention towards, always. And just ignorance is what everybody's attention is on all the time, because that's just what's promoted for us. Going back to how we got pulled from our roots and just, you know, our culture and our leaders, you know, we followed like, you know, different, like really, really, really like holistic principles. You know, we followed Orishas at a point, you know, and now it's like we follow these deities in the hip hop industry that are just, you know what I mean? They're just, and not for us, but we praise them, just, you know, like you were praising Orisha, like it's a deity that you, an entity, and the negative energy that you just feeding into. So, you know, that's the main influence on culture. From what I've experienced, I'm sorry, it was kind of like a difficult question because I'm still answering this for myself, but the people who are meant to disconnect and really find themselves, it's a line for them too. And I just feel like, you know, like lifetimes are karmic. So if you're on the right lifetime, you'll tap into what you need to tap into. But if you need to spend a lifetime learning a lesson, you know, then that's what that lifetime is going to be spent for. So the new goal that I set for myself is to not force anything, you know, but it's just to align with people on the same lifetime that I'm on. Just going back, like a lot of people say, I have like an old spirit. I feel like this is one of my last lifetimes here. Before sending this,
so you
want to
get it right this time, huh?
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to get this right. So, it's interesting. Just people around me just tapped in at different times. You know, some people just like that at birth. So maybe, you know, they were close to their time at a past lifetime. Some people, they tapped in at, like, you know, halfway in their life. Some people tapped in around my age. Like, me and my mom kind of tapped in things around the same time. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing because it's just like I had somebody to grow with, somebody to resonate with, and somebody to really understand me. So we were the first two to really tap into that kind of stuff in our family. And we kind of just, I want to say woke everybody else up, but, you know, like, we kind of brought attention to a lot of the things that we weren't really paying attention to the family. But that's more, like, me and her, like, our responsibility. Like, we're in Habesha together as well, you know.
Oh,
so we
okay,
both,
nice,
we
nice.
Just, yeah, so we both just, we're just aligned, and I really appreciate having, you know, like, just a partner with me on that journey.
Yes.
But, yeah, and I say that just to say, you know, she's her age. She probably doesn't want me to mention it. And I'm, you know, and I'm 22, so I feel like it happens when it happens, and when you're ready for it, you know, we here, and we providing these things. You know, y'all can go out to the garden. You know, y'all can help out and volunteer there. You can tap into that. You know, you could tap in with me on everything. So just when people are ready and they're aligned and they want to take that jump, just take that jump. So I'm kind of just trusting the universe that everyone's going to align when they need to. But, you know, hopefully mainstream media crashes down. I feel like it's getting to that point.
Okay.
Just because the influence is just used on us as another poison. I don't watch TV, especially anything targeted towards us, you know, or marketed for us.
Right.
I don't listen to mainstream music like that. It's just toxic, and when you hear it, it's just very like a slave master wrote these songs sometimes. Like, seriously, so
oh,
know,
for sure,
playing it back,
sure,
and it's like, wow, like, you know. So, and also being in music, and I learned from some OGs. You know, they were around at the beginning of hip hop, so it's just like to hear the stories over and over and over again about the industry, it's real, and it's not somewhere you go and you're successful and you can spread a beautiful message. It's somewhere you go and you're paid to put toxicity in your community, you know. So, and it's just that real hip hop, it doesn't blow up like that anymore. You know, so is it, but the people who are meant to tap into it, you know. So I have an appreciation for just healthy MCs. Like, I got a real deep appreciation for them. And, you know, when I produce beats and stuff, I just give them out to those people just out of love. Like, I love hearing their messages and stuff. But it's not everybody's cup of tea. Some people still want to listen to mainstream music, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like people tap in when they're ready.
And, you know, as you were talking, you took me back to what you had said earlier in the show about the flower that just sits there and everything it needs to live, it's attracted, you know, to it. And so, yeah, that's what I got, that may be the simplest answer to the changing of the guard, so to speak, from being controlled and manipulated and conditioned into a way of thinking that is just anti-life, is what this stuff is. And a lot of it is reinforced by, like you were talking about, the ingredients in the fake food, you know, because that stuff is not food.
Yes. Yes,
imitation at best, you know. But, you know,
okay,
like you were talking about the entertainment world, and I remember, oh, gosh, it probably close to 30 years ago or something like that. But Snoop Dogg had done an infomercial, you know, the things that come on like at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I
mm-hmm.
remember him, and it always, my mind goes back to that when these type of conversations come up. And he was saying just so honestly, you know, and very heartfelt that he's a father. He said, "Do you think I would sing these lyrics around my children?" He said, "The only reason why I'm doing it is because I'm in a contract. And the owners of the contract is saying, you're going to say these words, have this image, and like that. He said,
right.
But that is not how I am when I'm at home with my family. And that just did something for me because I didn't like him. You know what I'm saying? I just like, oh, my God, you're like the worst thing going. But once I heard his confession, it just made me look at all of that stuff like you're talking about. And look, that was before you were even born when I heard this interview by him. But it was just so so filled with so much love for his children and for humanity, and just trying to let people know that don't believe all that crap that you're seeing, you know, because that ain't the reality of what's behind the records and the money and the music and all of like that.
Right.
So it's no surprise that I know my grandson was caught up with all of the shiny jewelry that the people were wearing, you know, and I was like, baby, that stuff ain't real. Yes, it is, Grandma. Yes, it is. And so they had done their research. The marketers had done their research and knowing that the glitter, you know, what's going to sparkle and shine was going to get the younger people's attention. So we just got to be ahead of the game, I guess, in that mind control thing.
And to add to that, because I did forget about this point, but and this is something that I stress to anybody interested in, you know, starting a black-owned business, is just quality. Quality and understanding, like, you know, there could be over 100 people, you know, and there is over 100 people in the marketing of, like, Nike, for example. You know, so, you know, and product design and so many different areas and departments in the production, you know, of what we see, you know, as Nike. But it's just like when it comes to these black businesses, you know, and just like with everything, and my mom's always been telling me this since I was a kid, like, you're black, but you got to go like 100 times harder than everybody else just because they think you can't, just because they get put on that pedestal. As you know, as black businesses, we just got to see our actual competitors. We can't just make a product, you know, make a similar product but not keep in mind who the main competitor is. So it's just like, and this is my advice to anyone, you know, starting their own business, just really pay attention to the bigger competitors that you have. And that's something that I had to tap into as well. Just, you know, just simple considerations, like even package design is something that I'm focusing on now, just after observations from different places that I bought things from that I really like. And it was like, wow, like, you know, I really did appreciate opening a certain type of bag or a box, you know, and it's certain things, like a lot of brands, you know, the print quality, the fabric quality, you know, even like getting your own tags made and things like that. Like, I try to be as quality as I can to match those kind of competitors, because realistically, that's what we're competing against. You know, when it comes to the business, you don't want to like feed into the mainstream too much, but at the same time, like, that's where the source of money is. So, you know, just finding a way to still appeal to them, that's like another strategy that I have that I'm sharing, you know. So just making things cool, making things the same quality, so it's a smooth transition. I relate it to being plant-based because, you know, I influenced it a lot, especially, you know, I've dated people who weren't plant-based, so I've had friends who weren't plant-based, and I helped them transition. You can't just cut it cold turkey to a completely different lifestyle. You have to ease a lot of people in. A lot of people need that comfort and trust. So I treat marketing the same way. So that's why I say, like, I do pay attention to the bigger competitors that I have. So just making the holistic lifestyle cool. And that's where, you know, like, art comes in, and that's how I incorporate that.
Right, right. So, well, I'm loving that, you know, like, using those philosophies that you're talking about in order to attract more people in. It's just like the commercials that we see where the pharmaceutical companies, they're actually targeting the general public. They're not even worried about doctors anymore, you know, like prescribing
right.
the pills. They're going on TV telling the general public, like, okay, look, your legs ain't working. Go tell your doctor you got restless leg syndrome and ask for this pill, and that'll go away.
Right.
And so, like, when they first started doing it, you know, to me that was, like, the funniest thing I had ever seen. And I'm like, if your legs hurt, get up and walk around. The blood's not circulating.
Okay.
That's the way I took
okay.
it, you know, but then – you know, everybody don't look at it that way. So, but I like how you're talking. I like the strategies and making sure that how we package. So it's not just the physical package, but it's how we present what we have
yes,
to
ma'am.
Other people. Yeah, I like that.
Yes, it does take a lot more. You know, and I just wanted to share this just because these are like the little things that, you know, don't get shared about the come up of people's businesses and stuff. But it's financially, it has been a little challenging to match that level of quality. Just, you know, kickstarting my brand. Like, I want a commercial shot. Like I said, I'm getting things manufactured in a very high quantity and quality. So, you know, like a lot more money does go into it, but it also comes back out of it, you know. So just being aware of, like, you're going to have to make that investment if you want a good quality brand. I've just been experimenting with brands ever since I was, like, 16. I wanted some kind of brand. And just experimenting with different things and seeing what people like. Like, I love psychology. Like, I don't study it, like, in a school, but, you know, I study it on my own. Especially like marketing psychology, I think it's very, very interesting, you know, how you can pick at the mind and play with the mind, and you can program the mind to like something that it doesn't even like or it's never even seen or experienced before. So just incorporating all of that, like I just noticed, like I have finally found the niche in the fluid, constant flow of customers, the better my quality gets. And, you know, the more I match it with my competitors, like, it's a lot easier to get people to pay for something of the same price, just matching that quality. So, you know, it is a lot to invest into initially, but it's definitely benefited me, and I feel like I'm at an advantage now that I have that kind of quality that I didn't have before. Just, you know, starting a clothing line on Instagram or something and getting shirts printed on, like, you know, Printful.com or something like that, you know. So now it's like a way higher quality, but it's a way better presentation just for the world. And that goes for stores that I'm working and getting my clothes in different stores right now. So then these are like fashion stores, you know, like different boutiques and just different fashion retail stores. And it's like you have to match that quality, you know, for your stuff to be put in those. So now I have a lot more ease with that. I have a lot more ease in attracting the kind of crowd that I want and everything. And it's just the more you perfect your quality, you know, and get it perfect, the easier it's going to be for it to sell, because people want a good quality, like, long-lasting product, you know. Or if it's music, it's got to just be some really, really good produced, composed music, a really cool music video, like, you know, so it's just finding those ways to slip it in. This is what I've been on.
And we break up a little, but we're about the end of the show. And, you know, there's some other avenues that you can take, too, as far as your product goes. I've been involved with this one organization, We Buy Black, and young brothers, maybe a few years older than you, but he has that same attention to detail, and he's all about, you know, like going outside the box, so to speak, and making sure that people are highlighted and spotlighted and that they have good products. And I met him maybe 4 years ago at the Juneteenth festival at Morris Brown. And I think that next year he had organized his company, because he was sitting next to me with a little card table selling black toothbrushes. And that was how he was making himself known. And he had a couple of younger brothers that was working with him and things too. But he did like a big expo at the Cobb Center, right off of 285. It's something else, Cobb Center. But he had that over there, and it was so well attended and such a high quality of organization and the whole, you know, what they did. It was very, very noteworthy. And then the next year, he took it out to the convention center by the airport. So, you know, that type of thinking is where I see you and what you're doing. So that may be one organization that you can, you know, contact talk to and get help, or, you know, whatever you may need, support, find out how to put your products on that website. And there's some other ones as well. So, yeah, I'll start gathering up some information. But I know We Buy Black is, I know the creator of that, and it is stellar.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm definitely going to tap in with them.
Yep, I tell you.
I was
so impressed by him, you know, so.
They have a vendor in Greenbrier Mall, right?
I know they're online. I'm not sure if they have a physical location.
Mm-hmm.
I get emails, regular emails. So if you go on that, I believe it's webuyblack.com, and I'll also look for the creator of that organization and pass that information on to you as well, because I believe he would be willing to, you know, to talk and invest some time into helping you out with, you know, whatever you may need help with.
That'd be awesome.
So I'll make sure I do that. Yeah. Well, it has been so exciting talking with you, Nick. Oh my God, you took me to a place I didn't think I was going to go, but man, you are so wise and you have such an uncluttered vision for what it is that you want to do and how you want to elevate those around you, and that's all a part of a successful plan, is the elevation of others. And I believe what happens to some of these mind-controlling marketeers is that they don't take that into consideration, and that's why there's more harm done than good by what they do and the products that they endorse, you know.
Right.
So how can we support you and give us some, I know you gave us your Instagram handle, but give us some more contact information. Are you doing crowdfunding or, you know, like, so how can we help you, support you?
Everything is kind of in the development phases right now, but I do post on my Instagram about any art shows or any events that I'm a part of or that I'm putting together, everything for the brand. I really share everything on there. I also do commission work as well. I do brand design and development for different black-owned companies, so I help, you know, get them started up. From like the business plan, the financial plan, to you know, the marketing and the graphic design and logos and just the internal work and the external work of brands. Do painting commissions. I have art shows. I am going to have the Voices in the Forest first pop-up shop, you know, showing the first collection that I created. In a few months, I'm waiting to hear back from the manufacturers on how long it's going to take to create everything, but I will be, you know, announcing that soon along with light posting, just commercials and everything. Career-wise, I'm kind of at this really cool free-fall moment, so, you know, a lot of things are just popping up and happening, so, you know, it's kind of like a stay-tuned thing right now.
So is IG, is Instagram the only place that with social media that where you can be contacted or followed or?
Yes, ma'am. I don't know. Honestly, I don't really use Facebook or Twitter like that. I have them, you know. I don't really get on them as much. I try to, but I always forget. But
okay.
I will have a website soon, so
That'd
I would love
great.
To share that.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
So for those of you that are on Instagram, or you may want to get on Instagram, the name is Nicholas. Is that correct? You pronounced it differently.
Oh, I got you. It's Nicolau, but it's spelled the same way.
Oh, okay.
So it's N-I-C-O-L-A-S. B-A-D-I-L-A, Nicola Badila on Instagram. My artwork is also represented by the Chase Village House Gallery. If you're interested in coming out to any of my exhibitions or interested in purchasing any of my work, it's all represented by the Chase Village House Gallery. So that's a black owned, that's 80 acres owned by a black man who is creating an entire community for the urban art community of Atlanta out in Chattahoochee Hills. So he's working on some really amazing things. That's just a quick shout out to him. That's my manager, Tyree Smith. Yeah, he's just a really dope brother, and he's making a whole town for black artists in Georgia right now. So he's in the process of that. So, you know, a lot of just where I am right now and in the near future of projects and things that I'm working on, you can stay tuned and catch me at Chase Village. And that's on Instagram, Chase, like you're chasing something. Chase
yes.
Village. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you again, Nick. I'm so honored, and I feel so blessed by getting to meet you a couple of months ago and for you coming on and sharing such wise words to the audience. And I'm going to be following you because this is your, you're right in your groove. I'll just say it like that, man. You are so on point with what it is that you're doing and how to be successful. And you've put those building blocks already in place by learning marketing and website development and now, you know, with the urban agriculture with Habishaw. So you've built what you needed in order to be successful and to be very holistic in your approach. So I just thank you so much. I just truly, truly am so impressed. And if you need me, give me a buzz, and we'll bring
yes,
you
ma'am.
Back on when your line launches because we really need to make sure that we put as much promotion behind you when you go to do that as possible.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
thank you for the
geo gardening that you taught me. I'm working on that for our Extreme Green project. So I'm definitely using what you taught me from that and installing some of those gardens for our, that's like our final project. We got to put in the teams and we have to build like a garden for the community. So we're working
okay.
at the West End Soccer. So yeah, I just wanted to, you know, shout you out for that. And I appreciate you and y'all can check that out in a few months too.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much. And, oh, man, I tell you, I could keep going on with you, but We got to let people go.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So thanks again, Nick. And look, you guys, we're going to call it a night. We're a little bit over time, but you know that's always all good, so we're not going to even worry about that. I am Sandy Rogers, and I thank you for listening, for participating, and please remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. And so until next week, remain blessed, and we'll have another showstopper with an excellent presenter next week as well. And much, much love and continued blessings and abundant prosperity to you, Nick. Thank you again for being with us. Good night, everybody.
Life, love, and wellness.
And that's what I want.